a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there! Yes, he will. And a special hello there to the one and only Brian Vaughn.
At the real underscore BV.
At the real underscore BV.
He did it again.
He's done it again, folks. Sent a Hugh World Order shirt, Chewy Spree, a couple of bottles of booze.
Sour Patch Kids.
This guy is like,
Chew.
You know what? It's time. I wish he was here. We would ask him to get down on one knee. We'd put the sword on one shoulder, the sword on the other shoulder. We would say rise. Now officially a friend of the show. Brian Vaughn, officially a friend of the show.
100%.
Joining Vince Condi, friend of the show, VCFOTS. Now we have BVFOTS. You're on fire, bro. How you doing, man?
I'm living, man.
So we got, do you have anybody? Is Gumball Todd, I feel like if he came through the Gumball.
No.
Gumball. Doctor, can Dr. Kurt be a friend of the show?
Of course. Defensive coordinator, Dr. Kurt.
DKFOTS. Gibbs, you can have a friend of the show nominee. Do you have one?
No.
What about your guy with the tequila recommendation?
Oh, Chris Curran? Definitely, man.
CCFOTS.
And my friends at the Proper Pig, man.
Proper pig,
maybe.
PP.
Catering the Gibbs wedding.
FOTS. Love you know it. Who else is a friend of the show?
Barrio.
Barrio, friend
Barrio.
Of the show. Barrio, FOTS.
They're VIP.
They are. They're they're VIP. They're straight up VIP. They cut the lines. They're like, they're line cutters.
What line?
Exactly.
Barrio, there
doesn't
are no
exist
lines.
For Barrio. There are no lines. Who else? I had one more that was on tip of my tongue for a friend of the show. Cam from Canada is the Canadian. He's like the Canadian delegate at the show council representing Canada. We got guy in Brazil, Pablo. Was it
yes.
Pablo in Brazil?
Yes.
Representing the Brazilian contingent. We got SBS Berlin, Stephen Berlin.
We got G.I. George.
G.I. George
repping hard. He's via Twitter.
He's the Maryland ambassador.
He's the Twitter. He's Twitter.
He's the Twitter chairman.
Yeah.
Twitter chairman, FOTS. Oh, you know who else is FOTS? Automatically. Mo.
Yes.
Pedman.
Mo Pedman.
FOTS.
I'm going to find out when Mo Pedman's birthday is because I'm going to get him an air compressor.
An air compressor?
Yeah.
Smart,
for the moped.
Thoughtful.
Yes.
I'm going to get
maybe
him.
Maybe stick it in one of the baskets that's on his moped.
I'm going to get him a coupon to Papa John's.
Ooh.
That's a gift that could keep on giving.
It is.
For Mo Pedman. Gibbs, I feel like our posse is strong today.
Got a good crew. Where's the kid at today?
The kid's golfing. The kid, that's
priority, son.
He promises that he will make.
You have one job during the week. One.
And he would probably beg to differ that it is CBD. Josh,
on Fridays, he's got one job.
Josh underscore PGE says, what do I need to send in to get FOTS status? It's a great question, Josh.
Send something.
Look, we don't want to be those guys.
We don't want things. It's who you are. Josh is a Twitter. He's in the Twitter
community. You know where to find us.
Yeah, we're not asking for things.
We make no requests.
No requests will be made.
Brian Vaughn takes it upon himself to do these things.
The only request I have is for the guy that called up about Cardale Jones. Where's my bottle of Booker's bourbon? That's owed to me.
And your $1 million?
Yeah, I
went. Still collecting its interest.
I went down from $1 million to a bottle of Booker's bourbon. I feel like that is reasonable.
Very much so.
I'll have to look at my phone. I know his name. I'm pretty sure it's like Chris in Cleveland.
And Cardale was the what? Eighth?
Third quarterback that he said to go
but
in
was,
the first round.
Okay, but he was?
At least eighth.
Overall?
Yeah.
Okay. Because Cook went in front of him. Kessler went in front of him. Prescott went in front of him. Who's the kid that went to New England? Jacoby Brissett.
Yep.
Went in front of him. The two first rounders, Christian Hackenberg. What
yep.
did I just name? Six? At minimum?
You named quite a few.
Okay.
Quite a few. I like this. I feel like we should. FOTS cannot be bought. Damn right, Adam Schwartz. That puts him in FOTS in training status. FOTS, friend of the show, can't be bought. It's not about giving. It's about who you are, what's inside of you.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, if you listen to Riz, the show prior to us on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
The RBS.
The RBS, really big show. They have their RBSers.
Uh-huh.
You know, which is like I mean, they've been on the air years with Riz. So they are a group of gentlemen that, you know, go to the front of the line on the call screen that have to call in. They know the rules to play by. They're obviously ingrained into the Cleveland lore from a sports standpoint,
sure.
meaning
sure.
Indians, Browns, Cavs, you know, to the day that they die. But they bring hot takes, too.
Absolutely. By the way, Pumpkinhead.
Pumpkinhead is an RBSer, I believe.
He's an RBSer?
He is an RBSer.
Does he have to choose? Can you be an RBSer and a friend of the show?
I'm not going to put him in
that.
You can.
I don't want to make people choose. No. I don't want to do what happened last when we made Gibbs choose because he chose.
Didn't work out in our
favor. It hurt us. Yeah, I'm still in therapy about that. That's rough. That was rough. Gibbs, anytime that you want to just come out and announce a change in your stance, by the way, we will accept it and be excited about it.
I've never answered one way or the other.
Your silence spoke volumes.
Call screening.
Call screening. I bet you are. 216, you're not call screening. 216-578-0850. Call screening. All right, so what do we got on tap for you today? Obviously, the Cavs tonight, game three. Do you think that the Hawks show up? I think if the Cavs get up early, it's just fold the tents and go home.
30 minutes. Or, sorry, 24 minutes, right?
I think this one's closer than we think tonight.
I think they can put up a fight. I'm just saying if they don't get out to a good start.
If they don't play the first half the way that they've talked in the last 48 hours of wanting to play in their place with the energy, and if they have the the chip on their shoulder, or any Atlanta Hawks fan has the chip on their shoulder about what the Cavs did in game two, accomplishing that goal, and all the dialogue that's come with it because of Barkley's comments, which I'm sure we'll talk about later in the show as well. If they don't come out and ride that energy and are in it in the first half, meaning
show some scrap, some grit.
Yeah. Up four, down four. You know, I think any more, if they're down double digits at halftime, I think LeBron just gonna come out and just put that Nike down on your throat.
Yeah, bring out the guaranteed trombone at that point. I would say, you know, that's why Detroit played them competitively, because they were scrappy, they weren't afraid, and they gave max effort constantly.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think Detroit led at halftime in three of the four games. I know two for sure.
And they got swept, but it was a much better feeling sweep, I think, than what you're seeing right here. So we got that tonight. ESPN, after the draft, has gone through every team and said what their biggest remaining hole is. And for the Browns, they said quarterback. I don't disagree with that. Until you have the quarterback, we've got guys who are, now we've got some potential, right? We got RG3, potential. We've got Cody Kessler, who somebody wanted to nickname Code Red already. I think Code Orange. Should it be Code Orange? I think he's got to earn a nickname. Just like you earn FOTS status.
Oh, for sure.
He's got to earn a nickname. You don't want a backup quarterback yet who hasn't played a snap for you
I don't want a backup quarterback with a nickname, period.
Right.
Okay. When you're the
starter. Think about the last backup quarterback we had with a nickname. Didn't go so well. So, no. But I do think it was nice. By the way, Gibbs, a couple people sent me a song that I think if we edit right could be a real good bump back song for the show.
Okay.
I'll remind me later. I'll send that to you.
Send it along.
Yeah, I'll send it along. It's good. I never heard it. It's called Ali in the Jungle. Pretty good. Pretty good. It's talking about, I think it's apropos for the Browns, talking about getting knocked down. Like, how are you going to get up? What are you going to do? Like Ali in the Jungle. Get up. Get up, Browns. That's what we need you to do. All right, the other thing we're going to talk about, we will talk some Browns. Brent Sobleski, NFL analyst for Bleacher Report, is going to be with us at 1:30. But before we get into any of this, and before we get to your calls, 216-578-0850, which we certainly want to chop it up with you guys on this beautiful Friday. Cinco de Mayo recaps. Anybody have any fun last night?
Nah. Came and went.
Came and went? No tequila at any point?
None.
I didn't do tequila.
No cerveza?
I had
no
a couple alcohol. Coronas.
Couple Coronas.
I stopped at one of our favorite Mexican joints and brought some food home. You can get like the big thing of salsa and queso and chips. I did that.
Mm.
I got one of those super California burritos. The lady and I.
Oh, the one that's the size of the plate.
You betcha, baby.
You betcha. Does this look like a man who's had all he can eat?
Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah, I did a little East 4th action. A little barrio. Got down there.
How crazy was Barrio last night?
You know, not as crazy as I thought it would be.
Really?
I was incredibly disappointed by the performance of downtown Cleveland last night. You would have thought it was any other Thursday. I saw nary a sombrero. Like, this is a holiday to me.
To you.
To me.
To you.
It should be to many.
Because you walked into work probably 4 hours after many had to walk into work. So it's very easy for it to become a holiday on a Thursday.
That's the same for St. Patty's Day.
Okay.
That's all I'm just going to compare it to. Apples. By the way, I've been working all day.
I don't know if there's – I bet you there's a larger Irish contingent here in Northeast Ohio than there is a Mexican.
Could be part of my California upbringing. I mean, I would imagine in San Diego, was Cinco de Mayo big?
Yeah.
Like huge?
Yeah.
Way bigger than St. Patty's Day?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Same in California. And I just think, quite frankly, at the end of the
day. San Diego is in California, by the way.
Huh?
You said, you asked me about San Diego and you said, oh, yeah, same in California.
Well, I meant Northern California. Well, the real California.
Wow.
No, I'm kidding. I actually prefer Southern California if I'm going to be perfectly honest about it. But I just think Cinco de Mayo, like, you're talking big burritos. You're talking salsa sauce. You're talking guac. You're talking queso, tacos, burritos, enchiladas, chimichangas, poblanos, tequila, margarita, mezcal, beer. Oh, St. Patty's Day, what are you talking about? You're talking about corned beef and hash, food? Huge advantage, Cinco de Mayo. Fun accoutrement, those green, like, shamrock hats, sombrero,
shamrock
big win.
Shamrock shake at McDonald's?
Big win.
I think that could be a push.
I've seen people in those hats, the St. Patty's Day hat, not having a good time. I've never seen anybody in a sombrero not having a good time.
Who wasn't having a good time wearing one of those big hats?
I've seen it. I don't want to name names. I don't want to shame anybody, but I've never seen anybody in a sombrero not having a great time. So that's advantage Cinco de Mayo. The drinks, just beer, maybe green colored beer versus margaritas, jalapeno margaritas, non-jalapeno margaritas, fruit margaritas, frozen, on the rocks, all the beers.
Just so you know, I've never heard of a jalapeno margarita prior to doing the show.
I second that motion.
Well, welcome. Welcome to the new world.
So you made it second. It's a Hugh World Order. You made it second on your list behind margaritas and in front of any Mexican beer.
Oh, yeah.
That's just goes to show how biased you are to what you like.
Well, do you know how many people that I've introduced a jalapeno margarita to? And that's now they don't drink margaritas unless it's a jalapeno margarita. Too many to count.
Almost ruined. Barrio is an amazing food. Almost ruined my food.
Well.
And I love food.
Yeah, but you just don't like spicy. I mean, if you don't like spicy, a jalapeno margarita is not for you, my friend.
No,
and that's
not.
Okay.
No.
I still love you.
It's all good. Still came back, didn't I?
I was just disappointed. I thought it was going to be like parties in the streets, sombreros, pinatas were going to be being smacked around.
People drinking margaritas, people singing
Guadalajara.
Now, I'm going to say this. Out in the suburbs last night, you know, I go to my place, Maya and Berea.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get there till 9. I had to work late here.
Okay.
Got there at 9 o'clock, and there was still a half-hour wait for a table.
Okay, so there was a fiesta.
There was a party going on. They had a mariachi band. It was good times.
Well done there. If you go downtown in Cleveland, though, on St. Patty's Day, it's a complete and utter zoo.
It is like a holiday.
Streets are shut down.
Streets are shut down. This was, you would not have known anything was going on. That made me sad. Pancho Villa was rolling around in his grave.
Love Ponch.
What a man.
Ponch could be a friend of the show.
I'll tell you what, he is an FOTS. You know who else is? Al Saunders. Al Saunders, huge Cinco de Mayo aficionado. Told me 1862 they liberated themselves from the French. I didn't know if that was true or not.
What did he do last night?
We should ask him. We should get him in here.
Probably watch some tape.
If he was able to walk through the force field that prevents coaches from coming in here, it would be great. We could have him in here, and we could ask him. Maybe we could have a jalapeno margarita. We could share one with Big Al. I thought I was expecting more. I was expecting like a full-on, let's bring it at Cinco de Mayo, and I didn't get that. I was looking for it. I was ready. I had the sombrero in the car. It was ready to go. But it just didn't happen. It didn't materialize. Maybe I'm just too recently removed from Mexico itself, too. Like, I still has a very soft spot in my heart right now.
Could be true.
And by the way, we went to another place. I won't name it because I'm a barrio man. But we, as I meandered around, that had their special was a $4 margarita. That's a great idea, right? But if you wanted to get a pitcher, the pitchers weren't discounted. So the only way to get the, like, discount was if you bought individual little margaritas.
So less was truly more.
Right, which made no sense. I was like, you guys You understand?
You would think more is less.
Correct. God, Matt. Your insights today. On point.
I'm bringing it.
It is. I know it's Friday.
That energy level is stellar right now.
Some people could mail it in. Not happening in this studio today. If anybody out there had a rockin' Cinco de Mayo, I want to hear about it. I want to know what's going on. By the way, Bob in Millersburg said, sorry, he's missed the beginning of the show because he was out buying. What did he say? I love Bob. Bob's a stand-up comedian, by the way. Very funny. Said, back in the office after rushing out to buy a copy of How to Become CBD FOTS for Dummies. I think that's in. He's in. I think he's in there.
Bobby Cart's looking for FOTS.
He won't beg for it. He don't have to beg.
He doesn't have to beg.
Nick Smith wants a sombrero.
His golf game has to beg.
Bobby Cart Jr., fine. Johnny Ohio says the name for FOTS should be the Daily Dogs. That's like the FOTS. I feel like you can put that. We should make bumper stickers for people, and they could have FOTS.
You can make bumper stickers. Yeah. I'll be here doing the show every day from 1 to 3.
So you're suggesting I make bumper stickers from 1 to 3?
No. I'm suggesting you use your time outside of this window to do whatever you want with any bumper sticker you want.
Wow. Chris Reed says, I am the BMOCFOS. No one can hang with me.
What does that even mean?
I think he's trying to say he's the big man on campus friend of the show. Trucker Dave wants to be the trucker friend of the show. Guys, you know what? The outpouring of love. We're going to figure this out. We're going to go over the weekend. We got to put our brains together.
Here's what I believe.
We love you all.
We love everyone.
Yes.
But I think that maybe, like, let's make a basketball team worth of FOCS or whatever the hell.
FOTS.
FOTS, whatever.
You know what we'll have?
So it's like a dirty dozen or a baker's dozen.
And you know what we'll have? We'll have a friend of the show fantasy football league.
There you go. You can be the commissioner.
I'll be the commish.
Okay.
Friend of the show fantasy football league. We might have to start accepting SA applications.
LLC.
Yeah.
It's been trademarked. Don't try to steal it.
Don't try to steal it. The FOTS FFL. The CBD FOTS FFL for short. All right, call us up, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. If you want to make the case for St. Paddy's Day over Cinco de Mayo, I'm fine with that. Steve Zopo was sad. He said it was disappointing yesterday. He gave me a sad sombrero emoji. I know, it was sad. Bitmoji took the holiday off. Bitmoji had like 8 different St. Paddy's Day Bitmojis. They had nothing for Cinco de Mayo. Not one sombrero to be seen. That's right. Makes you want to do that. It makes you want to hit one of the bottles that the real BV sent us. 216-578-0850. We'll talk Browns. We'll talk CBD FOTS FFL. Ronnie said, I don't call. He doesn't want to be a friend of the show, but he wants in the FFL. Let's go.
You gotta be one to be in the other, bud.
You gotta be one. That's right. Bob in Millersburg is certainly our stand-up comedian FOTS representative. He's got that on lock. On lock. All right, we'll be back with more CBD right after this.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs, and all of our beautiful friends of the show out there, all the FOTSs. We're going to start off with one who's the number one. He's representing the Buckeyes on the committee of the FOTS. The one and only
beautiful music,
Scotty
beautiful
Buckeye.
Music.
Got
beautiful. It. I shouldn't even talk. I should let this play for a little bit. It's great.
So he's not talking.
But you're not amazing. Talking. You're calling. You're calling to. Let's go.
So I just want to defend myself. I heard there was some smack talk about me yesterday. And I got a couple updates for you, real quick. So again, I sat that game on Monday night and watched an 18-point evaporate within 3 or 4 minutes. So that was where my worry was from the other day, Nate. Yes, I did have a lot of good food, but I just want to fill you in today. I had some draft beers for lunch, and that's about it. So I will be hungry again later tonight. So if your house is open, I would love to eat over there some macaroni and cheeses.
Yeah, I bet you would. Like a locust, you come in. You've wiped me out of vitamin waters. You've wiped me out of Quest bars. I'm now wiped out of macaroni and cheese and rice cakes.
Scotty Locust, you know.
Scotty Locust, a.k.a. Scotty Buckeye.
So yes. I just wanted to call on the phone. I'm ready for this game tonight, fellas. I know this is Browns Daily, but I'm ready to go. Big game three. Let's get out early. Take their heart away and just run away to the series and get some more rest for the Eastern Conference Finals, which I would like to invite you to a game with me, too. So we could go out and have a good time at the game.
Certainly would like that. By the way, Matt Wilhelm probably had the line of the day yesterday when he said, when the game was a blowout, what you were doing, I was like, do you know what he's doing in the fourth quarter? And he said he's scouting 2021 Buckeye potential recruits. I thought that was a great line from Will.
That's pretty true. Matt, I was in 2018. I'm in 2018. I'm a little bit behind.
I figured.
So, listen, guys. I just wanted to call and defend myself here, and I will talk to you guys soon.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
All right, bro.
Take care.
Thank you very much. All right, let's go to Leon in London, England. Leon, in position to be the English delegate to the FOTS convention. Leon, how are you?
You know it. I'm good, Nathan. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you.
Good man. Yeah, just a quick one for me. Just calling out to say, look, appreciate you guys. The show's good. So good you've got international fans.
Thank you,
and,
man.
Let's keep the faith for the season coming. You guys may or may not know, we've had Leicester City win the Premier League over here. 5,000.
Yeah, 5,000 to 1, right?
Exactly. So, look, not expecting the Browns to win the Super Bowl anytime soon, but we're going in the right direction, and just wanted to give you guys a shout-out. So, I love the show.
Thank you very much, Leon. We really appreciate that. Calling in all the way from London.
It's all good, isn't it? It's all good.
It is good. Let me ask you this, Leon. What do you think about London getting an NFL team? Do you think that's something that like people in London would really be into?
I think they'd be into it. The issue that you've got is that the first couple of years, I think they might struggle. And then there's the question of, you know, I'm a Browns fan, so do I support the London team or do I keep supporting Cleveland?
I think
the London team would, it'd just be everyone's second team, I think, initially. So, yeah, baby steps. Who knows? Globalization, it might come in. But, yeah, I think that's the main issue. It's just like people have their teams, their affiliations already.
Interesting. Because I think it seems, at least from the talk, is that the most likely team to do it would be Jacksonville.
Well, I was just going to say, given their draft and those two studs that they've got in the first two rounds, right? If they turn it around and they're successful, then, hey, that might ease the transition. Nothing helps like winning, right?
Right. No, that is absolutely right. We're going to keep you, though. We're keeping you right here in the dog pound, my friend.
Top man. Wouldn't have it any other way.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, Leon. We really appreciate it. All right. Let's go to Aaron in Cleveland. Aaron.
Hey.
What's going on, man?
All right. First of all, I'd like to be a friend of your show, but I want to make a Brown take real quick.
Okay.
I think the quarterback situation here is fantastic. Years ago, this city wanted to give away whatever possible to get Robert Griffin. We've got him now. We've got people in charge that know what they're doing. So I think we're in great shape there.
I agree. There was a plan. It was executed, and now we need to see the actual players come in and perform and play football.
And I think Kessler was a good move. I think the quarterback knowledge on this team right now is going to be great for him. I mean, accuracy is really the most important thing. You can learn other attributes. Wish he was a little taller. But all right, so I want to be a friend of your show. I'll join your fantasy football league, come to events, call more often.
All right, Rob. Listen, Aaron, you got to tweet us and put in the hashtag FOTS so we know that you want to be in training.
All right,
brother. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's go to Rodney in Georgia now. Rodney.
Ronnie,
I'm sorry about that. Gibbs.
No, it's fine. Dude. Yeah, but look, next weekend is the Fan Fest.
Yes, it is.
Yes, sir.
And I'm trying to find out if there's a lineup yet, who all is going to be there or anything like that.
Every rookie will be there for sure,
yep,
participating in a practice that will be open to the public. Now, I would think, and I don't necessarily know yet, that some of the current Cleveland Browns, I guess you could say they're all Cleveland Browns, but some of the veteran players as well, I believe, will be there signing autographs. But don't quote me on that.
I think they'll be there. I think you're going to have a big contingent from the front office. Expect to have a nice round table for you with some of those guys from the front office. I know, Matt, you're going to preside over a media round table.
I am.
So basically, it's going to be everything and anything Browns. Plus, of course, not only will the rookies be there, you're going to get to see that rookie minicamp practice at First Energy Stadium. So it really is going to be an awesome experience. Last year was great, and this year is going to be bigger, badder, and better.
Yeah, we had me and my oldest boy came up last year.
Okay.
From Chattanooga, well, from where we are, Lafitte, Chickamauga, Georgia, right outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
Now this year, my youngest boy's coming up, big Gary Barnage fan, you know, so...
If there's one guy who does everything for this team, it is Big Play Gare, so I would expect, you know, and hope that Big Play Gare will be there. Fine, fine man.
Wait, he may bring his character. He had a caricature done of himself and had himself put in the Gary Barnett jersey.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, bring it up. Bring it up.
So that would be great. Dude, I appreciate it.
You got it, Ronnie. Thanks so much for the call. We appreciate that. From down in Atlanta, or down near Atlanta, Georgia, where I spent my college days. By the way, I will say the one place at St. Paddy's Day is fine to have over Cinco de Mayo, as the Dent Master pointed out to me. Savannah St. Paddy's Day. If you've never done it, do it. It's Mardi Gras, basically.
Okay.
It was a good time.
In Savannah, Georgia?
Savannah, Georgia has one of the best St. Paddy's Days in the country. Nay, the world. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It was as fun. That was one of the most fun weekends I had in college, for sure. Easily, hands down. Yeah, I put that on people's bucket list. Do it. Go have fun. All right, when we come back, Brent Sobleski will be talking with us from the Bleacher Report. We'll talk Browns before we get back to the FOTS shenanigans of this show. He will talk with us, and he will talk with us next.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. We go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline and bring in Brett Sobleski from Bleacher Report, who covers the Cleveland Browns. Brett, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me again. I tell you, that lead-in reminds me of the movie Airheads. You remember the movie with Adam Sandler?
Of course.
And they had the line, Lemmy or God?
Lemmy is God.
Lemmy is God.
I know. We've just been educating Matt Wilhelm about Lemmy over the course of this year following his untimely passing.
Oh, you know, he's one of the legends. And we've had so many in the music industry this past year. It's hard to keep up with everything that's happened and all these great artists that are now gone that we have to listen to relentlessly to remember them.
I know, it's crazy, and obviously Prince the most recent. Did you catch, by the way, I don't know if you watched Saturday Night Live, but they did a very special Prince episode where it was all of his performances, like, I mean, ranging over, you know, almost 40 years. Unbelievable, that guy.
I'll have to check on YouTube. I'm not an SNL guy. I was spoiled growing up with Farley and all those guys. So don't watch
it. It's not even in the same. It's sad times. Sad times there. Brent, let's talk about the Browns for a little bit here. Actually, before we do that, let me ask you, are you a St. Paddy's guy or a Cinco de Mayo guy? There could only be one if that's those are the stakes.
I'm definitely St. Paddy's guy. Oh, bothering me. I'm
killing me.
50% Polish, the other side got a little Irish and German in
okay.
me.
So all right, fair. You have an ancestral tie. That makes sense. We'll let it go then. We'll let it go. All right, let's talk about this Browns draft. They were going to go in with 10 picks. They ended up with 14 draftees, one player via trade, Jamar Taylor, former second-round pick out of Boise State, not to mention the first-round pick in 17, a second-round pick in 17, a second-round pick in 18. What did you think of what Sashi Brown and co. were able to do?
Well, I think if you take a step back and look at this from a macro point of view, there's three ways that I basically break down their draft. First, they had a plan. Second, they executed that plan. And three is the actual individual picks. What we saw with them trading down multiple times was that plan and execution. So one and two are covered. Where the disconnect could come in eventually is in that third step, where your individual selections overall. You know, you look at some of these guys, and I understand value is completely perception, and every team looks at players very differently. But there are certain cases in this year's draft class where you wonder and scratch your head a little bit when the names came across Augusta and were announced overall. I think in the first few rounds with Corey Coleman and Emmanuel Ogba, Carl Nassib and Sean Coleman, those guys all landed essentially where everyone expected them to be and could be valuable contributors. It's once you get to the next parts, you know, Cody Kessler, I know, you know, Coach Jackson is completely sold on him. We have to trust him. I get it. But there's obviously going to be those around the league that snickered a little bit about the pick and really looked at it as a poor value, and that will actually extrapolate into some of the other picks as well.
As you look at this draft as a whole, both Miles Jack and Jalen Smith, you know, with injury questions surrounding them, both went second round, and the Cleveland Browns had multiple opportunities to take either one of these players. Do you think over the course of time that that's going to be something that the Cleveland Browns may look back on?
Well, I think they value production very highly, and when you're not on the field, as you know, as we all well know, can't produce when you're in the tub, right, gentlemen? So in that instance, I think they stayed away from it. They were looking for guys that can step in immediately, change the culture, have high football character. And I'm not saying Jalen Smith or Miles Jack don't. I had the pleasure of telling Jalen Smith's story throughout his rehab this offseason. And, you know, he's a wonderful kid, great character, and really what you want from a player. But you need that instant impact on a roster that really needed an infusion of talent. And Cleveland had to take a step back and say, either we take this chance or we don't, and we move forward. And they didn't. And for them, they can get that type of impact with an Ogba, say, for in the second round, than they would as much as they would have the other two.
And as you look at the draft as a whole, and I've asked this question multiple times, you know, with different guests, excluding Corey Coleman and Emmanuel Ogba, where do you expect the most immediate impact to come from this class?
I think when we get to the top of round four, Joe Schobert. And I look at him as the type of guy that he's a piece. He's a piece that Ray Horton can use in multiple different defensive sub-packages. He's not going to start for you. You obviously have your linebacking core relatively set overall. We know who to expect in those positions. But then you watch him. And if you go back, and I did recently with their game against Alabama to start this past season, you can see him being used in multiple different ways, from dropping into space, covering in the slot, rushing off the edge, playing inside linebacker, playing sand linebacker. So he has all that potential to move him around, and I think that's why you can see him as a guy that can be used in multiple different ways and on special teams.
Look at these wide receivers. We've been begging for the Browns to draft wide receivers. They draft four of them, obviously Coleman the headliner, but Hollywood Higgins, Jordan Payton, Ricardo Lewis, and especially Higgins, the most productive in college of the bunch. What did you think of those wide receivers, and who are you expecting to surprise from the three that are not Corey Coleman?
Well, you definitely look at automatically Higgins simply because of production. It wasn't as good this past season, but we have to look at the extenuating circumstances. They had a quarterback change. Their quarterback in 2014 was a third-round pick by the New Orleans Saints. And in that season, when he had a legitimate NFL-caliber player at the position, he amassed 1,750 yards receiving. Yep. It was a Biletnikoff finalist. So that shows you the type of potential. Now, physically, is he the guy that's going to dominate? No, but he's going to be the type of wide receiver that's a route runner that can get separation, that's played in a derivative of a West Coast offense. So he's going to be a little more prepared than, say, a Ricardo Lewis, who might be an Allen Hurns type of guy. And physically, he's actually superior to Hurns coming in the league, but it's far more raw overall.
Yeah, very raw, but you can't coach that kind of size and that speed combination. I'm sure you've seen the quotes from Hugh Jackson about the running backs Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson. Were you surprised that the Browns have not addressed running back at all, and now they have 25 rookies coming in, the 14 drafted, the 11 undrafted. None of them play running back.
I was surprised to a degree for two reasons. First, because of the value that sat there on the third day. When you went into round four, you had numerous running backs that were going to contribute for teams this year still on the board. They only had three or four of them selected in the first three rounds. So when you had guys like Kenneth Dixon and Alex Collins and Jonathan Williams, players of that ilk, they're quality players that maybe they don't come in and start, but they can add to the competition. With that said, when I looked at them, the reason I thought running back might be an issue is because when you watched Crow and you watched Duke this past year, at times they were part of the reason why the running game wasn't going as well as everyone expected, a little indecisive to the whole. I think if you look late in the season, though, when Coach DeFilippo switched to more of a power gap scheme, they were far more effective overall, and I think that will help them with Hugh Jackson. So maybe that's what he's looking towards. He sees that potential. They're both 23 years old or younger, so he thinks that he can get the most out of them because of his system.
Brent, Nathan talked about, you know, Crow and Duke not add, and no additional competition being added via the draft. But they did add, you know, a lot of depth at certain positions. Does that put any current Brown under contract kind of in question going into training camp in the next couple months?
Well, we should add, with running back, the first move this regime made was to snag Terrell Watson off the practice squad from Cincinnati. So, obviously, Coach Jackson liked what he saw last year with the 230-plus pound back out of Azusa Pacific that broke all of Christian Okoye's records. So there's a little bit there that you can come in and have that guy push. I immediately look at outside linebacker, and I'm not saying Paul Kruger and anything along those lines, but this is a make-or-break year for Barkevious Mingo. And if he has with the added weight playing at 260 pounds, if he doesn't show something even early in preseason, I think that's an issue, because you have Nate Orchard. Now you have Emmanuel Ogba. You have Paul Kruger. You have guys on the roster that can push a former sixth overall pick potentially off the roster entirely. So he would be the first guy that pops in my mind, because we haven't seen the production we all expected of him.
Yeah, and that's going to be interesting to see. What do you have in Mingo, Ogba, Nate Orchard, all the snaps that are needed for those guys to really kind of get a look at him? I imagine Ogba is going to get every opportunity to play every snap, which could make it interesting to see where Paul Kruger does, in fact, fit in. I want to ask you about the quarterbacks, though, because that's an interesting room now. You've got RG3, who I think is probably the favorite to start. You've got McCown. You've got Kessler, Austin Davis, Connor Shaw. The question is, do you keep McCown with RG3 and Kessler? Do you not keep McCown? How do you see that room shaking out?
What's interesting about that is it's going to come down to how many quarterbacks do you keep. So many in teams in today's NFL only keep two quarterbacks because they want that roster spot for someone else. Will you extend it to three because of a mentorship type of situation with Josh McCown to allow Cody Kessler to learn even more against a guy that's been in the league a long time that really embraces that role and can teach him a lot of things? Obviously, we know that going into the season, this is going to be RG3's team. How do you want to bring him along? Do you want to have Josh there, or you don't want that pressure on him, and then have the young guy behind him playing your number two role? I don't think necessarily if you go into the season with McCown, it's the best type of situation because he has that starting experience. I understand he's a veteran who can bring him along, but then the team can also save nearly $3 million by releasing him this year. So it's a situation where you don't ask for that, but in the thing, we want your guys moving forward, and McCown might just be out of the picture.
Brent, last question for me is, with the additions of this draft pick and another player via trade, it's going to be a more competitive building than it's been in a very long time, but is it to the talent level it needs to be to compete? That I don't know. So outside looking in, before things actually get started, how do you expect Hugh Jackson to do in year one in when it comes to wins and losses?
Well, I tend to agree. Last year's team, I thought, was more talented than the record indicated, and because of the situations and all the distractions, things kind of fell apart. This year's teams, I feel, could be less talented overall and yet be better on the field because of the coaching staff. And I look at a potential 1-2-game improvement at least. I trust in Hugh Jackson. If you talk to people around the league, this is a man that's very, very well-respected. And you look at the staff he's put together, these are veteran NFL coaches. This isn't their first rodeo. This is these type of guys that know how to get the most out of NFL players and grown men who are competing for jobs and want to be on the field winning games. And I think that speaks a lot to where the direction the Browns are going compared to where they were previously. And I suspect that as long as it's trending in the right direction, people will have high hopes in Cleveland with Jackson at the helm.
Yeah, I think that there's just an energy, and you kind of get a sense of that from the players as well, that it is certainly, you know, a new era under Hugh Jackson, and a guy who brings that energy, that confidence, and a lot of that belief that they think hopefully can get this thing turned around. I think your point about the coaching is certainly a very valid one, and I think the Browns are going to get the most out of their talent. And I think when you bring in so many young players, having a staff with as much experience, nearly 200 years in the National Football League, is absolutely key. What do you think about not only just Hugh Jackson, but the staff with Kirby Wilson, with Pep Hamilton, with Al Saunders, Ray Horton, et cetera?
Well, first of all, when you mention Al Saunders, he's going to have quite a job in front of him with four rookie wide receivers coming into the room, and you don't know how many veterans are going to keep along that line. You know, this is arguably, and I will say this on air, the best wide receiver, coaching staff I've seen in Cleveland since Butch Davis was there. And we saw what happened with that staff of Butch Davis with Todd Bowles and Chuck Pagano and Bruce Arians and all these guys going on to be head coaches. This is how much I respect who they have in place. I believe they can get it done. And the nice part about bringing in so many young players, they don't know any better. They don't realize all the pain and suffering the Browns fans have gone through. They haven't been there for all this turnover and all these things. So it's one of the things where you can completely change the dynamics in the locker room in one offseason simply because you do that youth infusion, get it over with, and build towards something.
Absolutely, Brent. We appreciate the time as always. I heard you're going to be in Cleveland this weekend.
Well, I'll be in Akron, actually. I'm visiting a buddy, going out with some friends, you know, so a few Akron alumni meeting up for the first time in a while to have a good time on the town.
A little Ken Stewart's, maybe?
No, we're going to try Arshay's Brewery down in the valley, down in Cuyahoga Valley. So it just opened up last year. We haven't made it there, so a little shout out there. Maybe I'll get a free drink along the way.
There you go. Hope you do. Brent, thanks so much. Follow him on Twitter, at Brent Sobleski. We've tweeted it out. Of course, the Browns Daily Twitter has tweeted it out as well. Thanks so much, brother, and enjoy the weekend back here in Ohio.
You do the same, guys. Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. By the way, Browns backers in Montreal wants us to know that Cinco de Mayo isn't a real Mexican holiday. Mexicans in Mexico don't celebrate Cinco de Mayo. Doesn't matter. That doesn't mean it can't be fun. Do they say, I went in Ireland. Do they really celebrate St. Patrick's Day? I bet probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure? Do you know that for sure?
I don't know that for sure, but.
Do you know, Gibbs?
I think they do, but I don't know that.
You think they do? Okay. All right. Something to think about. All right, we'll be back with more CBD right after this. Get on my elevator, baby, we're going
up. Give me that now and later, I can't get enough. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Brandon at CRU4TRR with some harsh words for the kid. Says the kid's status for Friday should be reevaluated. Golfing unacceptable, like his football team can't show up when it matters.
Wow.
Truth.
Hashtag truth.
Ouch. Ouch. Ah, what a sound.
I'm all about the kid, hey? I'm all about the kid. You got to keep him on.
Of course, we'll keep the kid on, but he's got to come on. We got it. We need a little bit of love for the kid. This is the kind of day. This is the time of the year that the kid shines.
Plus, the kid. What did he shoot 76 last year? Once
he did the low round of his career. Wow, Cam, dropping knowledge. Yes, that is the lowest round of his career. That's right.
We need to let him golf a little bit more. He's doing it. It's what he needs to do. So let the kid be the kid.
Well, yeah, you can't listen. The kid is going to be the kid. You can't stop him. You can't stop him. I was with somebody, by the way.
You can only hope to contain him.
You can only hope to contain him. It's tough to reel him in. He's like a wild stallion. I was out with somebody, and they're like, oh, Nathan's girl, I listen to CBD all the time, like love the show, blah, blah, blah. And the kid was with me, and I'm like, and this is the kid. He's like, look, the kid, no way. He was like more excited. He was so excited to meet the kid. What's up? So what's going on with you, Cam? How you doing, brother?
Doing great. You know, I was just going to chime in a little bit on the running back thing if I could.
Yes, go ahead.
I think Hugh is probably looking at these running backs like it's not the right time to sell the stock because Crow has a second gear that is like none I've ever seen before. I mean, when he gets open space, his second gear and explosiveness is beyond belief, which is a very special quality. You're going to have to build around it, but it's a special quality. Duke, you're not going to get rid of him. So my thought is, you know, they're a nickel a dozen, I think anyways, running backs, to do what Duke does. You're not going to find that many guys that can do it. But to find a guy that does what Crow does, if it's not working out, you can always add to it. But the risk is if you bring in a guy right now, you draft a guy, these guys might just be ready to go off. And I'm not much for coddling guys emotionally, but these two guys, I think you have to build them up emotionally. And I think that's maybe what Hugh's doing is saying, hey, we're with you guys, but I'm not going to make the mistake of thinking he's stuck or married to him. If they don't produce, I think he's got someone in here right away.
And remember, Crow is a was an undrafted free agent. So, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, that gives him 3 years with the Browns, then he's a restricted free agent.
Correct.
So this is the last – I mean, the commitment, you know, he's got to earn everything going forward from the Cleveland Browns. So the onus is really on Crow, and I think he's going to get the opportunity to do that. But that's where the onus is right now. It's on Crow to continue to produce. And I will say I have heard that the running backs are ecstatic with what they're getting from Kirby Wilson. That they think that he's just a little bit more engaged, a little more in tune with what they're doing, and they're very happy with him as the new coach.
I think, and the few times I've had a chance to have dialogue with Kirby Wilson, he's been nothing but great in his ability to communicate and be very genuine I don't think that these coaches – let me go back. I'll talk about Kirby Wilson in a minute. I don't think Hugh Jackson would have handpicked the coaches that ultimately ended up being on this staff if they weren't up for the task that is in front of them. So in some cases, a guy like Kirby Wilson gave up the opportunity of probably working with Adrian Peterson through the end of his career – okay, 2, 3, 4, 5 more years there in Minnesota as he potentially could break the all-time rushing record. He trusts in Hugh. He gave up that to come here and probably in some cases didn't know a lot about Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson. It was more faith in Hugh Jackson. You heard Al Saunders talk about, or Hugh Jackson talk about Al Saunders. They haven't been a lot of places without each other as long as they've been in the coaching ranks in the NFL.
Right.
And I think Kirby Wilson brings the experience of a high-level running back. And if I were Duke Johnson and I were Isaiah Crowell of one day, maybe even set it as exceeding 1,000 yards in one season, I would be all ears on time taking notes because sure. He has been there and done that for a guy who is again, a once-a-decade type of player. But I want to do – and I've said this before when we hired him. What did AP do? How did AP train? How far did AP run after he burst through a hole in practice when there's no contact? Was it 20 yards after? Was it 50? Did he go all the way to the end zone, then run back and take the next play? Whatever it is that he does, I want to be doing it. And Kirby Wilson is the guy that's overseeing and able to communicate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to Steve in Toledo now. Steve.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay, great show.
Thank you.
Listen, just wanted to chime in a little bit on what Freddie said. I disagree with him on Josh McCown. I think that, have you seen our quarterbacks lately is what I want to ask him. And then I just think that we need as many good quarterbacks here in Cleveland as we possibly can. We can't afford to give him away. And I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
And I don't think he's going anywhere in referencing, Josh McCown.
I don't think he is either.
This is going to be a three-man room, and I wouldn't be surprised, and this is no knock against Cody Kessler, but Cody Kessler could very well not be in uniform for a lot of football games. As we heard Brent talk about, most teams carry three. Cody Kessler's not a guy that you're going to have on the practice squad, but he is definitely a guy that could be an active roster guy, but inactive on game days. Because you dress RG3 and you dress Josh McCown.
Right.
They both serve a role. All three of them serve an entirely different role for the Cleveland Browns. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing.
And I think as we've seen, both Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown's approach to rebuilding this thing is not going to be like anybody else. There's no template out there. So they're doing things the way they want to do it, and it will take time to be proven right.
Yeah. But that's okay. I mean,
that is okay. There'll be instances where you can point out and go, well, they're following what the Packers did, or they're drafting the way the Ravens do, or they're acquiring assets the way the Patriots do. They're going to take little, and I've said this before, this was something that I said during the season last year when there were questions about GM and head coach and not saying Sashi was listening to the show, but there are franchises out there doing it right. And you can't essentially mimic what they do, but you can take on the strengths of what they do. The same way as the best analogy I can give, if I were to ever become, say, a high school coach or a college football coach, and I was the defensive coordinator, my defense would be run with the strength of the facets that I believe in philosophically,
right,
that Wade Phillips instilled in me and Greg Minuski instilled in me and John Pagano instilled in me, and I liked what Dom Capers did. It becomes my defense, but I'm built of all my different successful parts that I've learned from.
Exactly. By the way, I don't know if you saw the article Navarro Bowman saying, "Man, this defense is crazy. I've never done anything like I'm doing it in this defense before."
What is it on? I want to read it.
It's my dad sent me. I'll email it to you. Dad sent it to me.
It's like FSN or something like that.
Yeah, my dad's like, you're no longer a 49ers fan. This is your fault.
We won't want to be because they're going to be drafting top five for the next 3 years.
Exactly. All right. That's exactly what I came back to when I said. I'm insuring you like a top five pick next year. You're welcome. All right. We'll be back. Hour number two of CBD here on ESPN 850.